You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
How about doing ENN then?
This is ENN, don't you know?
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Well, yeah, but what do I care about underwear trends? That's right. Oh, no.
I don't know what happened.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to ENN on this November 2nd, 2020. I would like to start off, if I can, by saying good evening to Michael.
It's called buttercloth.
Classic.
And I'd also like to say good evening to Don.
Good time.
Don, have you gotten a good look on the TV at the gorgeous shirt I'm wearing today?
It does look gorgeous. I love the color scheme of yellow and orange, but I can't read it.
I'm leaning in close so you can see it.
Well,
because this will mean a lot to you. I believe you'll
it's
personally.
It's Tyson and somebody, right?
Oh, that's right. The official
it has the
fight,
font, though, of Indiana Jones.
The official fight shirt of Tyson Holmes.
Oh, gorgeous.
Almost what killed a Holmes moment. In that fight. January 22nd, 1988.
Holmes had no business being in the ring that night.
Shout out to my buddy Mark at Top Shelf Premium. Does a great job.
Brought up Indiana Jones, Michael. That could be a place to start, Peter.
What do you mean?
With the loss of Sean Connery.
You know what?
No, he's just celebrating his 90th birthday, Don.
See,
no,
that's
I double checked.
Wow.
Just to be sure?
Actually, it was told to me, so I figured it was a good authority.
All right, yeah. You believe for it. Yeah, it's not. Let's not wish happy birthday to Sean Connery. The reverse would be, would the reverse be worse than what he did?
No, what he did, it can't be worse than that.
He killed
Sidney Poitier.
Yeah, Don killed off Sidney Poitier.
Don, did you tweet a rest in peace to Sidney Poitier?
Yeah, 92. He passed away.
That's his birthday today.
No, didn't. Turns 92. Dear God.
Rick DiPietro just texted me, said, throw some water on that T-shirt, Peter. Give people what they want.
Wow, thank you.
No, it fits fine. It fits beautifully.
What a bad
no,
guy.
No, he's
he
meaning,
is.
No, he's meaning a wet T-shirt, Don.
Yeah, but he's trying to say
so
it's tight.
So they can see the outline of his body.
He's trying to say man boobs and
yeah, he's
and really,
trying to say.
It looks gorge.
I
look
don't think
gorge.
That's what he meant.
No, I
think
double check
totally
with your buddy there. He'll confirm that he was suggesting that Peter was wearing a shirt that was not quite his size.
No, that's this because, is a big shirt. It's not even tight.
Well, that's what I mean, but I think he was going for something like that.
Also, Peter's in tremendous shape. I stand by Peter.
All right, guys, let's get
started. I wonder
if
the guy who was giving you grief about Ben DiNucci is going to back off today.
Just that was...
He did.
What an end to the show on Friday that was. We went out in a blaze of glory. A rare moment of you defending me, Michael.
People loved it on Twitter that I stuck up for you.
It was like his roommate's nephew or something. It wasn't even like anybody related
yeah.
to him.
We got a call late Friday during ENN I mentioned Ben DiNucci being the starter for the Cowboys on Sunday and being like, who is that guy? My cousin's daughter-in-law's roommate is Ben DiNucci's brother. How dare you, Peter? How dare you take a shot at DiNucci? Really?
Wow, Carlin just took a broadside shot. I can't believe it.
At who? Me?
At RJ. No, not at RJ, at Rick DiPietro.
Okay.
Carlin says, and I quote, RJ has now played Save DiPietro more than it ever actually happened.
Oh, my God. Topic.
Carlin.
Wow.
Carlin.
I mean, wow.
If Rick DiPietro's a real man, he just waves the white flag today. And he just says, you know what? There's no coming back. That was a great line from Carlin.
He's checking the mirror to see if there's any blood coming out of his nose.
And DiPietro just answered back and said, by the way, that was a complimentary text. Peter looks terrific.
Oh, well, Rick, which you know, I take your side, and I stand by you 100%.
Say DiPietro!
But he might have to just give the day to Carlin. Yeah, you just have to step back. Now, you know who's not waving
the white? Maybe he was doing the whole hip-hop wit t-shirt contest where suggesting that you'd be mowed down by a machine gun.
Oh, what? Goodness, that got dark.
I don't understand what that means.
From Ice Cube.
Oh, sorry. Now, let's...
you don't remember?
No, I didn't. But it sounds alarming.
I guess I'm the only one who listens.
Ice Cube's been confusing recently. Now,
I like cubes.
Let's start with someone who's not waving the white flag, and that's Adam Gase. And yes, the Jets traded Avery Williamson to the Steelers. But
why?
I don't know. But Coach Gase says they're not giving up.
Yeah, I mean, I never look at, you know, waving the white flag. It's not something that's not in my DNA. You know, sometimes opportunity. This is our profession. When things like this happen, this is, like, guys aren't ever going to be shocked by this. Like, we're in the profession of, you know, we got to win games. When we don't, then things change. And younger guys get opportunities to play. I mean, that's what the NFL is. This is not unique.
Do you guys feel what I feel, just inspired after hearing that? Don't you want to just run onto the field in a blaze of glory and take someone out?
He is Newt Rockne reincarnate.
That voice, his tone, the words, everything.
Win one for the dripper.
I mean, my God.
Listen, he's answering the way coaches answer, right? Because he still has to get his team to go out there and play. I mean, it makes sense. You trade players when you're not going anywhere. So he's right.
You think that over the years, though, at least the last two, that losing might have crept into his DNA?
No, he's not saying about losing. He's saying about quitting.
Well, yeah, that too.
Losing is losing, whether he wanted it to or not. It's crept in.
Oh, yeah.
A little infiltration.
Yeah, you can't lose every single week and have it not affect who you are. It's part of what he is now.
No, but he's not. I guess what he's trying to say is that he's not going to be Rich Kotite and sit in the parking lot smoking a cigar while the team's practicing.
But you know what? Who had a better time? Kotite with his buddies.
Now, Tommy weighing in, by the way.
Tommy who?
He'll figure.
Tommy P. Sports on Twitter. Carlin with the line of the week, even if it's only Monday, don't see it getting topped.
That's true.
Wow.
Really good stuff from Carlin. It's
probably the line of November as well.
It's not just the Jets who are sad in the AFC East. Cam Newton had a late fumble yesterday. The Patriots were driving down 24-21, under a minute to go. Cam scrambled. Looked to be like he was picking up around 7 yards, but then the ball just got popped out by a defender. Let's hear from Killa Cam.
It's unacceptable. I got to protect the ball.
Does it impact you more because you guys were moving the ball at the end there because you did have a chance, obviously, on that last drive there?
No, it affects me more that, you know, I still am jeopardizing this team's success because of my lackluster performances of protecting football. So, coach, trust me with the ball in my hands, and I wouldn't want it any other way, and I just got to do a better job of protecting it.
Wow. How much a narrative can change, though, guys? What are we saying today? And I'm not saying they're world beaters, they're going to win the Super Bowl, but how different do you feel if you're New England and Cam punches it in late and they get a win over division-leading Buffalo?
See, that's why I think it's kind of folly to suggest that the Jets can be competitive and possibly beat the Patriots, because that's the synopsis for me at the end of the day, is that they hold on to that ball, kick the field goal, win in overtime, or maybe score a touchdown on that drive, Peter. We're talking about something's up with Buffalo, and what a nice win for New England. They'd be sitting there 3-4, still very much alive to possibly even still win this division, because they'd have a win over Buffalo, right?
And the Bills
right on the heels of Miami.
4-3.
And now 2-5, and we're talking about they're done. It's huge, and I feel so bad for Cam. I never had any problem with Cam Newton, and he's crushed by this.
Handsomest quarterback in football, I think.
We've said that before, but then I've had some people tell us that his smile's a little scary, looks a little cartoonish.
And then top it. If you're gonna come at me, then top it.
Who? How about Jimmy G?
Yeah, you know, you bring up a good point.
Yeah, the man's gorgeous. Now, he can't stay on the field, but we'll get to that in a second. Tua Tagovailoa wins his first start.
Tagovailoa. That's the way we say it.
Tua Tagovailoa.
There you go.
He was only 12 of 22 for 93 yards, but somehow still managed to just smash Michael's three-point Rams bet. 28-17 over the Rams. Let's hear from Tua on how he thought he played in his debut.
I don't think I played to the standard of what this offense is capable of. There were certain plays where, you know, I could have stepped up and made the right throw, made the right decision. But I've heard it many times from the guys in the locker room. It's good that we still came out with the win. And aside from that, you know, thank God we got a good defense. So when we do start to, you know, string good plays together, we know that we can be able to make plays and then, you know, get the ball back and continue to try to do the same.
Wow, he sounds just like Brady.
Yeah. He sounded very mature there for his
very
first
mature.
Start. Right?
Yeah.
Well, I should wait to play this, but I can't wait any longer. It's time for Russell Wilson Watch.
Hey, Seattle.
Hey, guys. Russell here.
Russell Wilson Watch.
Mr. Unlimited.
When you're on Easter weekend, your wife is over here braiding your hair.
Yes, the typical boring robot Russell, the one you guys love to know.
That's what goes on with you. Let's get it.
Thank you. That was my request. I love it.
This music is very interesting. RJ, what are you trying to say about Russell with this music?
I think the music gets the point across of where we're going.
It's perfect. It's absolutely perfect.
I tried making it with more serious music. It doesn't work. And this is the way it needs to be.
I mean, well, he's one of the best quarterbacks in football. And that was like that was the perfect
sounds like
music
something you hear on a calliope.
It was
before it crashes to the ground.
What a great effort that was by RJ.
Russell Wilson, he was back last night, of course, because I had a big two-pointer with the Niners to hang with Seattle. They did not. Wilson was 27 of 37 for 261, no interceptions, 4 touchdown passes. And Russell Wilson fully back in the mix for
MVP. I've got a hot
MVP.
Take.
Okay. Go ahead.
So he and his beautiful wife and their lovely children, they sent out a picture for Halloween.
Oh, yeah, where, sure.
Did you see it?
Sure, I did.
Okay, so they're dressed up. There's no creativity. They spent thousands of dollars.
Yeah. Well,
why did rich people send out pictures of costumes that they've had like a fleet of like 10, 20 people working on them?
You and I are so
simpatico. It's not creative.
You and I are so simpatico. So I said this morning on Ebro in the Morning, weekdays, Hot 97, I said we were talking about Halloween and someone brought up the Weeknd's costume, quote unquote costume. The Weeknd was Professor Clump from The Nutty Professor.
Right.
Guys, it wasn't a costume. He was The Nutty Professor. Like, what I mean is, at what point does it cease to be an effort to dress up? And if you hire the makeup people who made the Eddie Murphy movie,
right,
and they turn you into Professor Clump for $20,000, it's not a costume. It's you're now the actor who is playing. He was Professor Clump. It wasn't even like, oh, that's cool, it's the Weeknd. It was just watching Nutty Professor.
It's a joke. And then everybody gives such great, great praise to Heidi Klum every year with her. She spends thousands, tens of thousands of dollars to
it's
look like
that. It's not in the spirit of Halloween.
It's not exactly.
That's
you
right.
said it best. It's not in the spirit. Make yourself a costume. Don't get somebody to do it, a fleet of 20 people, experts, to put on a fat suit like Mr. Clump.
RJ, I know it may not strike you this way, but Michael's just yelling, go put on a costume, is going to be tremendous down the line with no context. We are on the exact same page. It makes me sick. It's like the spirit of the rule that we always talked about, the replay in Major League Baseball.
Right.
It wasn't to catch that moment when you happen to step off the bag and now you're out. That's not what the rule was there
right.
for.
Right. It's not somebody who's like showing, look how clever I am and you know how I improvise. No, look how much money I have to look like whatever I want to look like. Stop yourself. Check yourself. You're embarrassing yourself. Make yourself a costume.
See? couldn't agree with you more. We're 100% on the same page.
I love it. Love when we're on the same page.
And by the way, what idiot hacks these celebrities were this weekend with the Halloween parties. Everybody was out partying and posting all about it. So spare me your messages about being safe when you feel like having a party with a 200 of your closest friends and posting a gazillion
pictures.
Or if
you're the Kardashians that spend millions of dollars to fly everybody to an island.
Well, but at least then you're being safe.
Yes.
Well, everybody took tests before they got on the plane. Yeah, I'll play along.
You don't believe it? But they went on a private jet.
Okay.
You think they're liars?
I'm not saying that. I need proof. I want to see swabs of noses.
I'll play along suggests you don't believe it.
That's exactly what
I need proof, yeah.
Liar!
I'm not saying I don't believe it. I need proof.
Now, important question to ask you both. Sadly, you guys both have parents who are no longer with us.
They're dead.
That's what I meant.
Mm-hmm.
Kanye got Kim Kardashian a actual hologram of Robert, I call him Bob, Kardashian.
I think he hired David Schwimmer to do it.
So my question is, if someone did that for you,
I'd love it.
Would you love it or be like, what the hell's wrong with you?
No, I would break down weeping, but I think it would be marvelous. What a great idea. I mean, what do you get Kim Kardashian? So he got her something that nobody could get her. I thought it was phenomenal.
Don, how would you react?
I don't think it's the effort. It's just it would be very creepy. You know?
And it might also be wonderful.
Wouldn't you like
to see your dad again?
But he like projects the things that he would say. Like he doesn't know these things. Now, this is where I thought Michael would argue. Don, tell me you can't see Michael making this argument. In the video, Robert Kardashian's like, Kimberly, I'm so proud of you. You're such a great mother, blah, blah, blah. I'm surprised Michael's not calling that malarkey because they don't know that Robert Kardashian feels that way. He could think she's the world's biggest failure.
He could have done the alphabet and it still would have been a phenomenal thing.
I don't know. It kind of creeped me out.
I lean towards Team Creepy. But I guess it just depends on the individual.
We split ways again.
Well, first of all, my father died in 97, so I don't know like what footage they'd be able to piece together.
It's not footage, though. It's like photographs mixed with an actor. It's strange.
So it's not his word. So if he said, Don, I'm very proud of you, it's like, okay, but I know that's, I hope he's proud of me. He always said he was, but it's not like it's his
word. He's not proud of a relationship with Namath, though.
No, it really would bother him.
If I paid for a hologram for you, that would be what your dad would say.
Yeah, that's
yeah. And then and that
you
would
embarrass me, son.
That would feel very accurate. But I don't know. I could tell you, I don't know if I'd be like weeping. It would be kind of creepy, kind of like maybe a little slice of cool. I don't know if I like break down as if I'm actually with him.
People weep at cemeteries. It's creepy.
Well, the whole concept of that is odd, right?
Right.
Let's move on.
But it's kind of like understood that's his final resting place.
Now, Don.
It's a good place to reconvene, I guess.
You almost wanted to go to your final resting place yesterday after the Chargers blew their lead.
I got to tell you, it ruined my day.
Broncos. Yeah.
Because this was
a terrible. I mean, and the first call by Greg Gumbel was that it was not a touchdown.
Because it wasn't. Because the back judge had said incomplete. And that was all that was in the picture. It was actually a phenomenal call by Gumbel because he saw the official and then they convened and then it was called a touchdown. But I knew it was going to happen. But with a second left, I could be going for 3-0 tonight.
Peter, that's what I thought because the way it broke down. Was you get Don to feel euphoric and then you rip his innards out. That's the way you're supposed to lose.
First of all, this was not a great game. Like it ended up being a very competitive game at the end. But these are two very below average football teams, but it was my 3-point play. So I'm watching this intently.
Hard.
And I'm in great shape.
Is Drew Lock even when the Broncos had the ball late, in my opinion, on their last few snaps, Drew Lock looked completely in over his head. I was like, he's not going to find someone. And then he gets bailed out on the pass interference with 1 second left. You had to be killing yourself.
And here's like, I'm up 24-3.
Minding your own business.
So I'm in like great shape. And Denver can't do a thing. Now, Bosa leaves with a concussion. And that seemed to change everything. Next thing you know, bang, they break off a 55-yard touchdown run. Then Denver turns it over Chargers get an interception at 24-10. I'm like, great. They're driving to get another score, at least three, to make it 27-10. Put me up 17 points going into the fourth quarter.
And what happened?
Herbert throws a pick in the end zone. Like, he's got the 3 points in his pocket. So then they drive, score the touchdown there. Then they get a field goal. Like, the Chargers kept, like, making it almost impossible for Denver to come back. And then they do, and it was
Don,
like,
can
oh,
I
God.
Ask you a question I've thought about a lot over the weekend? Why would you pick that for a three-point play?
Because I really, because Denver's awful. And I was right. I was dead right. Until Bosa got hurt, I was right. Denver could not move the ball. They were embarrassing. It was, they were home. They couldn't score. Everything that I thought would happen was happening.
Right.
They kicked a field goal to start the game and then didn't do anything until deep into the third quarter. It's 24-3. I'm money. And then,
wow, this is brutal.
So it's
that
brutal.
Is brutal.
And I'm like, you know, I mean, I'm really bad mood because I'm like, this is because Michael had lost his 3-point play. I'd have three. So right there, it almost doesn't matter what happens in the Cowboy Eagle game or
well, you
today.
Tied me at least. Yep.
Bang. I pick up like three. I would have picked up 2 points because Michael only had that one because Michael, all of his games were 1 o'clock. Mine, I had a 4 o'clock Sunday night game and a Monday night game. So I'd be like, gold. This would all be gravy. I'm really fit to be tied, right?
But
the gift I got Sunday night, that was a
that
gift.
That was a gift.
That was
a gift.
There was no way that should have been a touchdown for the Eagles. So even though it's a 2-point play rather than three, the fact that I got that gift, I felt, all right, we balance things out and we see what happens tonight. So at least I gained a little bit of ground.
I was
very
upset about that.
No, you should have been.
And it was, and to see the replay. And again, I brought this up twice. No one knows what I'm talking about, so I'm just an idiot.
But you heard my answer. That's the answer, right?
Well, but I want to be clear. I was Andrew and I were texting last night. There's a fumble. The Eagles pick it up and run all the way in for a touchdown. It's a bizarre fumble, though, where the ball squirted out after not knowing where it was for a couple seconds. So they go to replay. And Collinsworth and Michaels are talking about it normally, like, oh, well, clearly this is going to be reviewed. Oh, if you look close here, a player's down holding the ball. They show it 5 different ways. Oh, it's under 2 minutes. It's going to be a booth review for a change of possession. We all know it's getting overturned. And guys, I know no one cares about me. This is my third week in a row where I had a chance to really make up some ground. So I really wanted Don to lose.
What? Oh, you want it done? Okay, it wouldn't have been anything for you.
No,
okay.
But I already had. I mean, I got my 3-pointer, so I know I at least have 3 points.
And you know that I've had a terrible day.
And you're out. You got 1 for the day. So I'm thinking, well, if Don goes 0-for, I picked up 3 on Don, 2 on Michael. It's a good week, in spite of losing my 1 and 2-pointer. And then, as Collinsworth and Michaels are casually discussing this like it's normal, I just haven't seen this. They come out of the replay. And the Eagles are running a 2-point conversion.
Now, I was not watching. Was Michaels referring to the spread during this?
No, although that is funny because obviously that was on the line for the whole country was the spread. So
which means it was on the line for Al.
Well said.
So I get that.
Is fishy, too. It was fishy.
So I get the gift, all right? And they eventually get the 2 points back because of the Cowboys taking the safety so they could punt out of there instead of, you know, do the whole safety thing rather than having the punt from their own end zone. So I'm up, it's 14, but the spread's 10.5. So now the Cowboys get the ball back. The game is over, but everybody's watching because the Cowboys now have the ball in the red zone with like seconds to go to get a touchdown that would blow the cover. And I'm thinking, this is going to happen to me again. I'm going to lose a game on a last-second touchdown. But didn't happen.
Wait, the Cowboys did get into the red zone at the way
in? No, the Cowboys got the ball back, even because the Eagles didn't score. They get the ball back, and they drive the field. But the game's over because they're not going to get 2 touchdowns. So there's like, I forget how many, like 7 seconds
left.
So
do you finally agree with what I said? That's why NFL gets ratings? People don't turn the game off?
Absolutely, because this game is over. First of all, it was a disgusting game to watch. It had no redeeming features whatsoever. Unless you're a Cowboy or Eagle fan, you're not watching unless you then have the spread, which is 10.5. So the 14, the Cowboys are driving. There's 7 seconds left. They're going to get one more play to throw a meaningless touchdown to beat me again. But they didn't get it. I think they tried a completion to the 5. He got stopped, and that was the game.
Peter, he did reference it, the gambling. And he also referenced, I read, that he referenced Scott Van Pelt, who has a part of his sports center where he called Bad Beats.
Yep.
He referenced that too. The guy's all over the line.
Oh yeah.
And also, in terms of the Chargers, this one, Andrew texted me this. They've lost three games this season when leading by 17 or more points. Second team ever to do it in a single season. The only other team, the 2003 Falcons.
Wow.
And they got plenty of time to blow another one.
That's a dubious distinction.
And I think, I mean, Andrew can correct me, if I think I saw the stat watching the game, it's the third consecutive game they've done that. Like, all three have come in three straight weeks.
Wow, that's brutal. Brutal.
It was such an awful way, but I feel like I got the gift from the Eagle game, so I'm good. But it just shows you that if you gamble for money, it's one thing. We're just having some fun, and we haven't even figured out what our punishment is. So what are we doing? We're Tonka trucking this thing, right? But imagine if I've got like a couple of grand on that game. I mean, forget about it.
Heart attacks, Don.
Oh my God! I'll be watching it like my son's in the Super Bowl.
RJ, well, that's a good tease for where we're about to go. But RJ, real quick, before I get to that, what is going on with your team? Jimmy G expected to be sidelined a minimum of 6 weeks, possibly Kittel. Longer. And Kittle's out, too.
I saw earlier a picture of the top, I think, 15 to 20 players on Madden that receive rankings, and I believe 14 of them are out. So it must have been 20. So I think I counted 14 that are either on the injured list or out. So I guess the fun's over. It was 1 year. And the whole Jimmy Garoppolo injured thing, I've been a big supporter of Handsome Jimmy, and I still am, but the injury thing, it's a thing now. Like He's missed a lot of games.
He's missed a lot of football games over years. Yes, he has. And remember, I said you guys were going to go back to the Super Bowl, so it's probably my fault.
Yeah, and you texted me last night and did not say nice things about the team.
I was not happy because every week Seattle is in a barn burner. They cannot get away from anyone. And yet I look up at this score, and I didn't really know what was going on. I wasn't fully invested. And I'm just seeing it's the 1 week. It was just a Seattle blowout.
You both shouldn't feel that badly because I read that Vegas completely took everybody's money this week.
Hey, Seattle.
Really?
Big favorites lost.
Packers
yeah,
killed people.
Absolutely. The gamblers got killed this week.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right. So here's a moment that I have not heard yet, but I've heard is very enjoyable. Joe Tessitore calling the Clemson BC game on Saturday.
Which was a good game.
It was. And Clemson had to come storming back to eventually get the win. But there was a moment during the game when Tessitore's son, who plays for BC, drew Clemson offside. And let's hear Joe Tessitore making the call of his own son's play.
So Aaron Bumeri on for the 40-yard field goal attempt. As they split out, Danny Dalton's a fake. Tessitore is under center. 4-2. And he got him to come off sides. John Tessitore came up and played quarterback at the last second, and they may get a first down out of this. How about that on 4th and 2?
I got to tell you one thing. I don't think that was the call that I would have made. I would have started crying. Oh, look at my son. Look, I mean,
I know,
that's
right?
What you don't draw the line there. You can do whatever you want. They're going to put you on that game and your son's playing in it. You can go hog wild and nobody could criticize you.
Can I tell you the truth? I know this won't be popular because I'm a bad guy sometimes to some people. The headlines that I read about this call, I thought it was going to be so much better. I thought he was going to say,
"No, he didn't
my son."
No.
Can you? I have to admit it. My son with a tremendous play.
I'm so with you, Peter, because I didn't get a chance to see it. I mean, I was watching the game, but I didn't have the sound up. And then Awful Announcing had tweeted out, like, what a special moment it was. But I guess it was being, like, literal. Like, it was a special moment, but it wasn't a special call. That's not the fault.
You played it right down the middle.
It was just, it was the right call. But I was expecting it to be some over-the-top, crazy kind of thing. And
yeah, the Awful Announcing headline is, Joe Tessitore's call of his son drawing Clemson offsides on fake field goal attempt is so pure. Do you mean like purely
right
journalism?
Down the middle?
Yeah, it was pure journalism.
I see Joe Tessitore get more invested in Holy Moly than that.
Yeah, I should have brought this up to you, and I apologize I didn't. I don't know if you have it or we have time, but did you guys hear Carlin and Ray Lucas on the?
Yeah, it was a good call.
The Stanford band play
you know
that Rutgers pulled off.
We should play that when we come back for Carlin.
It's really it's a shame that it got called back on a penalty, but it still was a great call.
This day in 1995.
Well, hold on. So we're talking November 2nd, 1995.
No idea.
I was going to say the World Series delayed a little bit because of the lockout?
No.
It has to do with the Yankees.
Oh, I know what it is.
Go ahead.
I think I know.
Go ahead.
Donnie Baseball?
Joe Torre got hired.
That's right.
It's Clueless Joe.
And you know what? Everybody thought that the Daily News said Clueless Joe as if he was terrible. It was Clueless Joe. It was a column by Ian O'Connor where Ian O'Connor wrote, Joe Torre has no idea what he's getting into. That's what Clueless meant.
Right.
And in 2016, the Cubs come back from a 3-1 World Series deficit to beat the Indians and win Game 7 in 10 innings, one of the great World Series games of all time, and breaking the 108-year world title drought. That will do it for ENN on a Monday evening. Yes!
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.